Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as the 2004 election story continues to unfold, WNYC is bringing you additional hours of coverage. That's why I'm still here on AM 820 WNYC, but on our sister station, 93.9 FM, you can still find the Leonard LoPate Show. Both stations will carry Senator Kerry's concession speech expected at 2 o'clock and President Bush's victory speech expected at 3 o'clock. My next guest is the independent pollster Scott Rasmussen. He's president of Rasmussen Reports, and he joins us now to talk about another shaky presidential election in terms of exit polls. Mr. Rasmussen, thanks a lot for coming on, and welcome to WNYC.
Well, it's a pleasure to chat with you today.
So here's the inside story that we didn't tell our listeners yesterday, and almost no news organization did, and that is that the exit polls were starting to get out early in the day. They start circulating around news organizations, and they start circulating around the campaigns, and the Kerry folks were very upbeat. The word started to get around that Florida looked like it was going to go for John Kerry. Most news organizations did not put this out to their viewers and listeners and readers because the ethic is not to do anything that would make people stay home if they hadn't yet voted in their states where the polls were still open. But then by late in the afternoon, this thing started to break out publicly a little bit, or at least by early evening, when the Bush campaign started to publicly question whether the exit polls were functioning on an optimal model, and that perhaps women in particular were being oversampled by the exit polls, indicating John Kerry doing better than he really was, certainly in Florida, as well as around the nation. Were you watching this unfold yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. And I was agonizing because, you know, we had put out our final projections on Monday night, and what we showed was very consistent with what the final results of the election were. But there were several hours that I was going back and checking the numbers to see if we had just, you know, fundamentally missed something. And trying to figure out what the difference was. The exit polls have always been a little unreliable, especially the first wave. They really are better at telling you why people voted and telling you how they voted. And I'm beginning to wonder if those early waves should even be released, or if they should just wait until they confirm everything with the state data. Because what happened yesterday was a significant issue in the campaign.
What about the exit polling models? Do you think they were off?
Well, you know, they must have been to some degree. I have not had a chance to look at exactly how they reached their final numbers. But certainly, I mean, there was a consistent understating of support for the president, and that led to a misperception of how the race was going.
And do you have, from what you've been able to glean, an opinion about how that happened?
I don't at this point. We were the very first things, as you talked about, we were all looking at the numbers and thinking one thing was happening. Then as the evening wore on, we began to draw comparisons between the actual voting and that. And then I was actually spending a good part of the evening with the BBC discussing what the election meant rather than taking a look at some of those numbers. And so that will be, one of our tasks for the upcoming days.
Right. And as far as the Internet's role in this, there were a number of sites, as I'm sure you well know, that were releasing these numbers once they could get them leaked to
right.
People at the Drudge Report, at a pro-Kerry site called MYDD.com, Slate.com did it. And, there is now a discussion within the media community as to what the right thing to do is on Election Day. Is it right, as Jack Schaefer on Slate argues, to put these numbers out, these partial numbers, because, who are we to hold them secret from our listeners or viewers or readers when we know what they are? Or is it right, in your opinion, to remain more concerned about the possibility of influencing people not to vote when that might actually still turn an election?
Well, let me, on our website, we offered a number of polls in the states as things would go along, and we took some heat because we left a number of states in the toss-up column, even though we might show one candidate ahead by 3 points or the other candidate ahead. We did that because the results were within the margin of error. We felt it was more important to say that this race is too close to call, based on advanced polling, than to falsely, assign that to one category or the other. And, with that in mind, I think the proper answer is that the exit polls should be held until they can be validated by actual results and not released ahead of time, because the possibility, if it was valid data and it was precisely accurate, well, then I'd make a different question. But since there are so many questions about the accuracy of it, it would be better to hold it at this point in time.
So, Scott, and my guest is Scott Rasmussen, independent pollster, president of Rasmussen Reports, and we can take phone calls for him at 212-267-WNYC, 267-9692. This was a very interesting year for polls during the campaign, and there seemed to be quite a few different models being used and a lot of dispute over how you measure likely voters in a year when there were more cell phones among more likely voters that wouldn't traditionally be reached, that there was a surge in voter registration of new voters who don't have a history by which to get them labeled as likely voters. How do you think, now that you've seen the real result, how it all shakes out?
Well, I think you have to begin by putting it into perspective. Those types of disputes have always existed in the polling industry. And it has become harder and harder to poll. It's not just cell phones. This year it was answering machines and caller ID and in fact an entire lifestyle change. A generation ago when the phone rang, people dropped everything and answered it. That no longer exists. So these discussions have been going on. The reason that they took off in the way they did this year was, number one, the election was so very close for so very long. People were looking to game the system any way they could. And secondly, the internet let a lot more people in on the details of those discussions. I'm of the belief that voters are not terribly volatile. They do not change their partisan ID or their candidate loyalties very often. That what you see is from early in the campaign to late in the campaign, there's a base that both sides start with, and gradually those undecideds drift in one direction or the other. And in the end, it's only a question of who has enough enthusiasm to show up and vote. Our first poll after Senator Kerry wrapped up the Democratic nomination found Kerry and Bush just half a percentage point apart. 8 months and $600 million later, they ended up about 3 points apart. So all of the movement was on the margin during the campaign. And we actually saw a few distinct phases of the campaign. It was a toss-up in the beginning. Senator Kerry moved ahead with the announcement of Senator Edwards as his running mate, and then a successful convention. He lost his lead when the Swift Boat ads came out, and then when the Republican convention came, President Bush took the lead and really held it pretty steadily from that point on. We do a week-by-week poll that averages all of our numbers, and the president was generally ahead by a couple of points in that from Labor Day on, with the exception of a brief dip after that first presidential debate. But when you get into all these detailed questions about likely voters and cell phones and everything else, it only matters when the elections are close. And the best news that I have for your listeners and for my employees and for the country today is all indications that I see are that the election will not be close 4 years from today, and we'll have a little bit of rest from this type of discussion.
Margaret in the Bronx, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I called because after all the talk about electronic voting machines and all the voting problems last year, I'm wondering how we know that it's the exit polls that are wrong and not the vote counts.
Well, I don't have an answer for the specifics of how the machines were done, but I must tell you the exit polls were wrong in states that used every different type of machine, and they were also inconsistent with all of the other national polls that were done. Our last poll on the night before the campaign found the president winning 50-48, he ended up winning 51-48. CBS, New York Times survey came out and showed the president ahead by 2 points on the last day. The Pew Center showed him up by 3. So it wasn't a case that all of the polls showed one thing and then the results were something different. The exit polls were different from what the other polling led us to believe and from those results.
And what's the total of the exit polls? I'm looking at it on the web, but I have it only broken down. I don't have a total.
In terms of the number of people they interviewed?
In terms of how the vote broke down between Bush and Kerry.
Well, it's going to be very difficult to find out the raw numbers that came in early. At one point in the evening, the exit polls were saying that Senator Kerry was up by 3 points. The second wave came in, apparently showing him up just a single point. But anything that's published from this point forward will be adjusted to the actual results.
Uh-huh. But that's what, once again, within the margin of error, right?
Most of the states were close to the margin of error, if not within it. But, you know, some of the things that came in, for example, the earliest numbers showed Senator Kerry with a decent lead in Florida that contradicted some other polls that were out there ahead of time. There were some questions with what they call the internals of those polls, and it was mentioned just a few minutes ago, too many women sampled, perhaps, relative to the population. That's something that I think is going to be looked at very closely, because this is the third election in a row that we've had problems with exit polls.
And I have to tell you that Margaret reflects quite a good number of calls and emails
right.
that we've gotten today from Democrats who do not necessarily yet entirely believe that the vote count is more accurate than the exit polls.
And in fact, you know, we found 4 years ago at the end of the Bush-Gore recount, there was about a quarter of the population believed, number one, that it was a terribly important decision, that number two, that the decision was improper, and that the Bush team would stop at nothing to quote-unquote steal an election. Nothing changed with those numbers during the last 4 years. I think the only thing, my view is that 4 years from now, the reason the election will not be close is because the Iraq situation will play out, and it will either work or it won't. And depending on which way that goes, the election will not be close. The country will rally around, and there will be a restoration of legitimacy one way or the other. But it certainly is an issue right now. There's an awful lot of people that do not believe the process is fair. I should point out, by the way, that in the 1990s, when Bill Clinton was president, a little over 50% of the population said elections were fair to voters. That's the same numbers that we see today. Hmm. The difference is that in the 1990s, Republicans were the ones who were saying something is wrong with the process. These things aren't being counted right. And the numbers have flipped ever since George Bush won the White House. So this is a serious issue for democracy.
So before you go, why are the exit polls, the election day exit polls, consistently so messed up? I mean, they disbanded what used to be called the Voter News Service after the 2000 election because of all the problems that year. They reconfigured a different kind of consortium for this election day yesterday, although with some of the same people in charge, I think. And now they have this whole new crop of problems. Why are these things so bad?
I do not know. There is something systemic wrong, and I just don't know what it is. And it's something that has to be addressed before we have another election like this.
All right. Scott Rasmussen, independent pollster, president of Rasmussen Reports. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we await John Kerry's concession speech.